From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? On today's Current Sports, we start with, of course, heavy hearts. If you have not heard, Detroit sports writer Drew Sharp has sadly passed away. News that everyone is still trying to process here. We welcome you to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. On today's show, we, of course, will be talking about the death of Sharp, something that really came out of nowhere. We will invite Chris Solari, Michigan State sports writer of the Lansing State Journal, here on our airwaves to talk about Drew's fabulous career. True Michigander, folks, from Detroit, graduate of Detroit Catholic Central and the University of Michigan. He was found dead at home in Bloomfield Hills this morning. Sharp joined the Free Press in 1983, has been a columnist since 1999. His wife, Karen, stated, quote, "Drew's life was the Free Press. He loved the people there. He loved his job more than anything. He always considered himself very lucky to have such a good career." Sharp, known for his bold opinions, quick wit, and ability to stir emotions among his readers, is a monumental loss to the Detroit sports community. I saw Drew yesterday at MSU Men's Basketball Media Day. Another somber reminder that life is so, so precious. We'll have more on the life and legacy of Drew Sharp throughout this entire hour, and we encourage our listeners out there, if you have a thought on what Drew's work meant to your life, we encourage you to call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also share your thoughts via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at WKAR_sports, or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, folks, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, pretty cool news concerning Flint's favorite daughter, Clarissa Shields. Yes, the Flint native and Rio and London Olympic boxing gold medalist Clarissa Shields was honored as the Sportswoman of the Year at the Women's Sports Federation's annual dinner on Wednesday night. Shields made history this past summer at the Olympics, becoming the first U.S. boxer to win two gold medals. No one, male or female, has ever done that. Quote, "I want to inspire people," she said at a press conference where she was named the tournament's most outstanding boxer. "I want to help people. I want to give people just a little bit of hope." And she did that. Shields, while growing up in Flint Town, escaped poverty and a difficult childhood where she bounced between 11 homes by the time she was 12 years old. Shields now must make the difficult decision to decide whether she should go pro or stay amateur and compete in the Tokyo Olympics in 2020.
And the quick combinations again as Shields firing it in there. She knows she's closing in on the gold with a round to go. Clarissa Shields, 15 seconds away from doing it, from being the back-to-back gold medal winner. And she's saying, bring it on. I'm the champ. Can anyone dethrone me? Golden again. Clarissa Shields, the first U.S. boxer to ever win back-to-back Olympic gold.
Clarissa Shields, so fun to watch, folks. All right, the Michigan State hockey team is coming off back-to-back defeats to Lake Superior State. Last weekend, the Spartans lost 6-1 and 7-3. Tonight is their home opener at Munn Ice Arena, where they play the number 6-ranked Denver Pioneers at 7.05 p.m. The first 350 fans will receive a Spartan hockey bingo card, where fans can win prizes throughout the game. Now, prizes include tickets, signed pucks, gift cards, and Chuck-a-Pucks. What is a Chuck-a-Puck? I have no idea what that is. All right, the game is free to all MSU students who present a valid Michigan State ID. The Michigan State men's and women's soccer teams will have the Senior Day ceremony tomorrow, concluding both of their regular season home schedules at DeMartin Stadium. The women will be looking to break a 5-game losing slump against Penn State at noon, and the men will try to build on their midweek 2-0 win over Yale. The 20th-ranked Spartan men find themselves with a 10-3-1 record with just 3 games left before postseason play, currently sitting in third place in the Big Ten. Senior midfielder Andrew Herr talked about what Saturday would be like for him. So I'm really interested to see if MSU can close things out with a dub tomorrow. That's going to be a double whammy of games when it comes to soccer. All right, Michigan State volleyball, now ranked 11th in the country, travels to Columbus to face number 19 Ohio State at 6 p.m. In their first match versus Ohio, MSU cruised to a 3-0 sweep of East Lansing. After taking on the Buckeyes on Saturday, the team will have the week off and then go back on the road to face Indiana and Purdue next Friday and Saturday. The Spartans are now 17-4, including a 6-3 record in conference play. Week 9 of high school football is here. Are you kidding me? 9? Yes, it's about time to get ready for the playoffs. And here are some of the key Lansing area matchups for tonight. Holt at Grand Ledge will battle in a CAAC Blue contest. Another CAAC Blue game, East Lansing at Okemos. Waverly at Fowlerville. Waverly features the only player that has stats anywhere close to Stockbridge's Mason G. Montgomery, that being Lucas Leak, who has thrown for 1,804 yards and 18 TDs on 117 pass completions. Eden Rapids on the road at Charlotte. Lakewood, still undefeated at 8-0, travels to Ionia. Bath at Perry, another 8-0 team. Portland St. Pat takes on Morris. Carson City Crystal travels to Potterville, who is still looking for their first win of the year. And Monroe SMCC is at the beautiful field at Lansing Catholic. For the third time since 1945, the Cubs, that's right, Chi-Town, are only one victory away from the World Series. Last time they were one victory away was in 2003 when facing the then Florida Marlins, I should say, and famously or infamously, I should say, depending on where you stand as a Cubs fan. With 5 outs to go in Game 6, Luis Castillo of the Marlins hit a ball foul towards the left field wall where Cubbies outfielder Moises Alou went to retrieve it but was unable to do so as Cubs fan Steve Bartman tried to catch it and knocked it into the stands. Now, as the legend goes, Alou initially told Bartman he wouldn't have been able to catch it anyways, but then later denied that statement and Bartman went into hiding. Now, to this day, no one knows where he is as he fears the great harassment from Chicago fans that still blame him to this day for not going to the World Series that year. Let us not forget about the Cubs, who went on to allow 8 runs that inning and then lost Game 7 at home. So quite a historic moment here for the Chicago Cubs. With Clayton Kershaw on the mound tonight for the Dodgers, hope remains intact for L.A. Can the Cubs put it away and make history? Only time will tell. All right, and New York Giants kicker Josh Brown, get this, admitted to domestic violence in letters, emails, and journals. Brown was arrested in 2015 for domestic violence where his ex-wife claimed he had abused her over 20 times over several years. In one of Brown's journals, he wrote, quote, "I have abused my wife." Pretty candid, right? According to a team release, the Giants were unaware of Brown's journals. Now, Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Steve Smith Sr., who watched his mom suffer abuse as a kid, was very angry with Brown. Smith tweeted, quote, "If your ex-wife was my daughter, you would be on IR," end quote. The Giants signed kicker Robbie Gould for the rest of the season and will travel to London with the team for this weekend's game against the Los Angeles Rams. Brown will not travel with the team and could face a minimum 6-game suspension. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, weigh in on today's show by simply picking up that phone. 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show. Get to our guest for today's current sports. Well, I love reading his stuff. He's an unbelievably talented writer. Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Drew, how you doing?
How you doing, Zach?
We're talking with Drew Sharp right now from the Detroit Free Press. On the news, Delton Williams, MSU football player, has been suspended indefinitely from all team-related activities.
Well, absolutely, because you remember a few years back when Michigan State, I believe, was unbeaten going into the Iowa game. And the defensive back was a Chris Rucker, I believe.
Right, exactly. Yep.
You know, he got out of jail for a repeated offense, and you know he was suspended, I guess, for the first half of that Iowa game. But he played. I was critical of the move. He did that. I mean, if you want to be the type of program that puts integrity, and Mark D'Antonio runs a high integrity program, no question about that.
Right.
But if you're going to say integrity matters more than results, then people are going to be watching to see what you do in situations such as these.
Who should be blamed for the Lions not re-signing Ndamukong Suh?
The front office needs to be blamed for it because don't fault Suh for this. Suh made it clear to the Detroit Lions over a year ago that he wanted to be the highest-paid defensive player. Not the highest-paid defensive tackle, the highest-paid defensive player. The Lions knew this. They knew this when J.J. Watt signed his contract extension in September of 2014, that the floor for negotiating with Ndamukong Suh would start at $17 million annually. Mm-hmm. The Lions didn't do that. They wanted to pay him like a defensive tackle, not an impact defensive player. So they knew this. Like I wrote a year ago, then they should have traded him. When they knew this was potentially going to be a problem, they should have cut their losses and moved on. They didn't. So now for everyone just to blame Ndamukong Suh for this is ridiculous. The Lions have only themselves to fault.
That's true. I agree, Drew. My man, Drew Sharp, sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Hey, Drew, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us today.
No problem. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, Drew. Take care, man. Folks, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It is Friday, October 21st, 2016, and the hearts of many sports fans here in the state of Michigan and the city of Detroit and beyond are a bit heavy today. 2016, this has been such a tough year. We've lost many great ones, folks. And, you know, I woke up this morning a day removed from covering Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day, excuse me, at the Breslin Center yesterday afternoon. Had a great time, chatting with head coach, of course, Tom Izzo, and the stout program that everyone is looking forward to seeing on the hardwood this year. Saw many reporters that hadn't seen in a while who are revving up for the upcoming basketball season. Guys like Justin Rose at WXYZ-TV in Detroit, Kevin Gale, my former co-worker at Channel 6, who's now doing great things on the radio as well as the Big Ten Network. Rico Beard, part of the team, 92.1 FM here in the area. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Ryan Slocum at ABC 12 in Flint. Saw a lot of familiar faces who are so excited about hoop season being around the corner. And who are just excited, you know, when it comes to life in general. I mean, it's such an honor to and a privilege to cover sports, you know, for a living, to make that a career. Not everyone gets to do that, right? And we all know, at least most of us do at least, just how precious that honor truly is. And one man who never took it for granted was Drew Sharp, longtime sports writer and columnist for the Detroit Free Press, who I also saw yesterday at the Breslin, who looked totally fine. Same old Drew, joking around, giving his very honest opinions on the Michigan State basketball program as well as the football team, too. I mean, in good spirits, in good spirits. I saw him actually, you know, because I wanted to come in and say something to him, but right when I was going to, he was doing a video for the Free Press online with Chris Solari and also Sean Windsor. And while that was taking place, you know, I said, all right, well, I'll catch Drew another day. You know, I'll see him, you know, when the season gets in the thick of things. And I was even thinking to myself, I got to have him back on the show. What you just heard was the last time that Drew Sharp was here on our airwaves, which was March of last year, right actually after the Big Ten tournament and right after the Michigan State men's basketball team found out who they were going to play in the first round of the NCAA tournament, Middle Tennessee State, right? And we had Drew on to talk about it, and he also weighed in on the MSU football running back, Delton Williams, who around that time news broke that he got into a bit of a riff. And you can hear it through that snippet just there. You know, Drew was always honest. He was never afraid to bite his tongue. He was going to tell you his opinion, whether you liked it or not, okay? And I think those that didn't know Drew, those that didn't really know who Drew Sharp was as a person, I mean, if you read to some of the stuff he would put out, I mean, you may think that this guy is just a miserable son of a gun, right? I mean, a lot of what he put out was clickbait for many of the readers of his. But he was, at the same time, it wasn't to put on a facade. That's how Drew really was. I mean, he was controversial, but he was always honest. It was always a genuine opinion, and he could always back it up, whether you agree with it or not. And that's something I always appreciated. Always appreciated. I'm a guy who, you guys know, I grew up on the west side of Detroit, and before I even had settled on pursuing this whole sports journalism world, you know, I had it in my mind that I was going to go to the NBA, right? And I remember growing up, and my grandfather, he was such a huge, huge Detroit Free Press fan, and he would get the Free Press on the daily. And I remember, you know, my grandfather would walk in, he'd come with the morning paper. You know, I'm about, you know, these memories go back to when I was about like 7, 6 years old. I remember he would walk in and, you know, he'd set the Free Press down and I would immediately rip out the sports section. And who would I read? I would read the likes of Mitch Albom and Drew Sharp. I grew up reading Drew. And I remember the first time I met him, it was actually through our former engineer, Alex Sharp, because Alex knew Drew pretty well. And Alex, when I first got the job here at WKAR during an MSU football game, introduced me to Drew. And, you know, it went from there. Just a great guy who, he did journalism well, folks. He really did. Again, whether you agree with his opinions or not. And I saw him yesterday and he looked in full health. He looked fine. And it's so surreal. I got a text, actually. I found out by getting a text from our very own producer and reporter at Current State. I got a text from Kevin Lavery. And I had just got off a conference call minutes after I got that text from Kevin. And Kevin said, Drew Sharp has just passed away. And I said, you got to be kidding me. This has to be wrong. So I immediately went online and saw the news, and you know, you just get this sad, shocking, just wow, is this really life type of a feeling, right? And it immediately puts in perspective just how we can be here today, folks, and gone tomorrow. It's so important to tell the ones that you love and those around you, how much you love them. Say that. Don't be afraid of those three words, I love you, because you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, folks. Going online on Facebook, I've seen the tremendous outpouring of emotion from many in the business that I know. Reading a quote here from Brad Galley, a sports reporter at WXYZ. He says, quote, so sad to wake up to this news, Drew Sharp was always fun to talk to. We had dinner together Monday at the Joe. And every time we saw each other, there was a Brother Rice CC jab. Love that. Awful news. I had posted on my very own Facebook page, you know, Drew, I literally just saw you yesterday at the MSU Men's Basketball Media Day. I can't believe this. Stunned, shocked, and saddened. I mean, I could go on and on here, folks. There's so many comments. Makaijah Reynolds, former MSU football player. Makaijah says, grew up reading this man's columns. Came up and he started writing about me. Last time I saw him was at Mama Perry's birthday. And we had a long talk about the same thing he always talks about. Who was going to win the Michigan State U of M game and why. Rest peacefully. And a final comment here. This comes from our guest who will be joining us in a little less than 10 minutes now, Chris Solari, who is now a sports writer for the Detroit Free Press, formerly of the Atlantic State Journal. He says, Drew, Sean Windsor and I talked just yesterday about a lot of things. He says, I coaxed him into shooting a video after MSU Media Day for Hoops. I'm glad I did. I will miss you, my friend. Rest in peace, great Boudini. Again, Chris will join us at 1:30. We want to hear your thoughts on the passing of Drew Sharp. If you have any memories of his work, I'm sure we all do, right? Please call in and share them. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before I move further, I want to invite right now our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, you know, since you've been here at WKAR, you've gotten a chance to cover the MSU football team, the MSU men's basketball team. You've gotten a chance to interact with Drew Sharp. Maybe not extensively, but you know who Drew Sharp is, and you've probably shared some words with him. I mean, and you didn't know the news until you just came in about an hour ago, and I could see it all on your face, dude, just like mine was, just utter shock.
Yeah, shell-shocked when I walked in without a doubt and absolutely just in disbelief that this could happen to a man who was, as you said, at Media Day yesterday in full health and great spirits, joking around with other members and everything. And I met Drew a few times, I talked with him, but my connection was much more indirect in that I did get here late. I never read his columns regularly as a kid, or I never actually really had too many long conversations with him, even covering events. What Drew did personally for me and I can say this with certainty and clarity, is that he helped induct me into the MSU sports journalism community, and that I would read his columns in order to gain greater insight into what was happening in Michigan sports. I didn't know anything about the Red Wings when I came up here. Didn't know anything about the Tigers. I'd be hard-pressed to name for you a single Red Wings player more than two Tigers besides Verlander and Cabrera when I first came up here. Pistons, maybe a little bit more. But I remember time and time again just reading and absorbing as much of this information as I could. And there's no more fun thing to read in journalism, as I'm sure you know, than a good column. And whether it's positive or negative, and Drew oftentimes would go after these teams without relent,
specifically,
without mercy.
He would go after
the Detroit,
the Big Ten. Big Ten.
Oh, really? Lions had a few too.
There's a running joke when it comes to Drew Sharp. He has his own theme song. Well, he had his own theme song when it comes to the Big Ten, because Drew Sharp was known for bashing the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And I don't know who came up with this song, but I remember when I first met Drew, someone started singing it, and it goes like this. Oh, the Big Ten sucks, the Big Ten sucks, the Big Ten sucks, the Big Ten sucks. And you just say that, you just keep on going. So I used to mess with Drew with that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was just his personality. He liked having fun with it. And he really, you know, this is going to sound bad in some ways, but Michigan sports fans aren't always the most positive bunch. Mm-hmm. They fueled this. They fed into this because they love embracing the mantra of the Detroit Lions or the Detroit Tigers, and that, you know what, we'd be happy to make a championship at this point. Something like that, where there really is some pessimism in the air. So for him to play off of that, make it comical, witty, sarcastic, but at the same time fully embody what made Michigan sports culture so unique and so prevalent throughout the entire state, let alone the Detroit community.
So
gosh,
true.
For him to be gone now, this state is going to miss something special.
Yes, they certainly are, folks. Again, we encourage you to call in and share your thoughts and memories on the great Drew Sharp, 517-355-9527. A brief transition here. I want to change the mood, change the subject before we hit our first break here. I mentioned I was at Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. Going into our first break here, Isaac, I want to just play my report, which you can view. You can catch the visual of this report at WKAR.org. There's a lot of excitement surrounded around this team this upcoming season. Especially, I know Tom Izzo is chomping at the bit to get back to it, because if you look at what happened last year, Michigan State getting eliminated in the very first round of the NCAA tournament at the hands of Middle Tennessee State University. This team is ready to get back at it and prove the doubters wrong, because this is a team that had high expectations last year. If you remember, I mean, they were mucked at top five pretty much all through a healthy portion of the year last year.
Pretty much the most popular national championship pick as well.
Exactly. Everybody had Michigan State going all the way last year, and it was such a big disappointment. But what acted as a bit of a Band-Aid, especially for this year's upcoming team, is that Tom Izzo did work when it came to the recruiting trails, so much so that he now has, statistically speaking, on paper, his best recruiting class ever. In his 22 years as head coach of this program, and it includes some stout names like Nick Ward, Cassius Winston, Joshua Langford, but there is one name that stands out above the rest, and that being Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is, we got a chance to cover him during the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, Isaac, out in Diamonddale, Michigan at Aim High. He is freakishly athletic. He has a natural leadership aura around him, I feel like, to be a freshman. He's so mature.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And there's so many things he can do on the basketball court, okay? So we're going to dive into the nuts and bolts of this upcoming year in just a second. But here's my just to give a preview of it, here's my report, which you can view on WKAR.org. So how good can this year's MSU men's basketball team be? Who knows? At least that's according to head coach Tom Izzo.
If I answered you honestly, and I'm going to, I don't know. I don't know where we are right now. I do not know yet.
But we do know this. When you take into account that this is the Hall of Famer's best recruiting class ever, well, you be the judge.
I really see great things in this team, just because, you know, the way we really come together as teammates. Like I was saying earlier, you know, one thing that separates us from other schools is that our chemistry is really off the charts.
Do you guys have conversations among you and the other members of the freshman class about how great you guys can be here?
I mean, we really don't get into that pressure in ourselves. I mean, we got so many other people telling us how great we're going to be and how many things like that. So we just trying to buckle down and win games. We don't want to get the hype to our head.
I've been working for this and praying for this my whole life. So I feel like I'm going to be ready as soon as I put this jersey on and step foot on this court. And it's just like another game for me and another stage, like it's levels.
As you look at November, and this is arguably the toughest November in program history, is that a bit daunting for you all to start off the year in the gauntlet like that?
Yeah, Coach keeps saying it's more miles than any NBA team in that period of time, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, we get to do something that NBA teams don't get to do.
I mean, I don't know if you call it daunting. I call it exciting. I mean, who want to play against when you come to college, you want to play against the best competition. Those are kids that's considered to be the best in the world, the best in the country. So I want a piece. We want a piece of them and see what it's about.
You know, so many times during media day, we're riddled with the same old storylines, you know, goals, expectations, blah, 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 right? So during this year's MSU Men's Basketball Media Day, there was one story that really caught my ear, if you will. That being the story of Josh Langford, at 12 years old, diagnosed with bacterial meningitis, a moment where he didn't even know whether or not he'd live.
And, you know, if I would have made it, when I made it through, they still said I wouldn't have probably been able to play basketball at a high level, which being Michigan State, you know, they said I could probably be blind or deaf. And so, you know, getting through that, you know, is really, It took my faith to a whole different level. I went through that at 12 years old.
Josh is a special kid, man. Really special kid. I can't speak enough on that. And him almost dying just gave him an appreciation for life.
I understood that, you know, it's more to it than basketball because, you know, at any time, any given moment, you know, you can lose your life. And most importantly, basketball can be gone just like that. So you got to understand it.
Yeah, that clearly was my favorite part of Media Day, because I didn't know about that story. And it's funny how it came up. It was just kind of casual, Isaac. You know, we're sitting there, you know, throwing questions at Josh, and all of a sudden, you know, I believe it was Hondo Carpenter, actually, of Spartan mm-hmm. Nation. He talks about, you know, he asked Josh about his faith. And he said, you know, I'm a very faithful dude because I almost died when I was 12 years old. My ears immediately locked in, and I couldn't believe the story. Again, diagnosed with bacterial meningitis at 12 years old, and, you know, doctors are telling him, you know, he's going to, if he does get through this, he's either going to be blind or he's going to die. And his faith, going through something like that at 12 years old, his faith went to another level. And I thought that was clearly the my favorite storyline coming out of Media Day. But we'll have more chatter about the MSU men's basketball year. We're going to preview it in just a second here. But before we do that, we're going to hit our first break, and we're going to invite to the show Chris Solari, our dear friend, Michigan State sports reporter for the Detroit Free Press, formerly of the Lansing State Journal. Chris is going to join us on the show to talk about the sudden death of Drew Sharp. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We begun today's show by, of course, addressing the shocking and saddening news of the passing of Drew Sharp, longtime Detroit Free Press sports columnist who has passed away at the age of 56. Right now, we're going to invite to the show a colleague of Drew's, who just landed in D.C. He's getting ready for, of course, the Michigan State and Maryland game that will take place tomorrow night. Chris Solari, formerly of the Lansing State Journal, now Michigan State sports writer for the Detroit Free Press. Chris now joins us on our airwaves. Chris, how you doing, my man?
As best as I can be, you know. Just I think you kind of summed it up there. It's absolutely shocking having seen Drew yesterday. Had some good conversation as always with him. We did a video with the Free Press, and he wrote the cruel and twisted irony of it all is that his last column was about looking forward to the future with Michigan State's basketball program. And, he was really excited to see what those four freshmen would bring and what Tom Izzo would do this year. Tom Izzo released a pretty powerful statement about the impact that Drew had as a person that both got to know him as a reporter, as a columnist, and really as a friend. It's really a sad day. I mean, I found out right when I got to Metro Airport to head down here to D.C.
Yeah, and I read your Facebook post on our airwaves not too long ago, Chris. And again, just to bring it up again, you said Drew, Sean Wizard, and I talked yesterday about a lot of things. I coaxed him into shooting a video after MSU Media Day for Hoops. I'm glad I did. I will miss you, my friend. Rest in peace, great Boudini. Chris, when you saw Drew yesterday, I mean, was there any inkling of anything that alarmed you that we may be talking about this news today?
None whatsoever. I mean, he was his typical acerbic self, kind of blasting Matthew Stafford for not being a good quarterback. Just talking about a lot of different things with his own life. And, that's the hard thing is, people see Drew and they immediately go to his columns and think there's maybe venom, maybe there's vitriol. But what he did is a very delicate thing that not many people can pull off in our industry, and that's the ability to provoke a reaction from you. But that doesn't mean Drew was constantly trying to provoke a reaction. What he was trying to do was give you an alternate point of view. And in many years past, that was called discourse. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, especially, and I'm going to sound like Izzo right now, but in the Twitter era, discourse is kind of lost in 140 characters. And, Drew Sharp is much larger than 140 characters. He's a guy who not only would take another stance to present it to you, but also explain it and explain sides that maybe he sometimes didn't even believe himself. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time. I mean, that's classic debate 101. I mean, that's speech making. And he was able to translate it into the written word. The amount of people who hated Drew spanned the globe. Spanned the gamut of whether you are a fan of this team, that team, or another team. I think there was equal, push back on some of it and equal embracing in some of it too. So, I mean, that's the sign of someone who did that job the right way.
Certainly.
I know that there was an issue last year. But the one issue that he had in 33 years of sports writing that a certain people are holding over his head and were holding over his head for the last year of his life, I think, some of those people need to kind of get a little bit of a reality check today.
Very, very true. You see, I think you put that very well, Chris. Now, Chris, as far as your history with Drew, I mean, do you remember how and when you met him and what was that like?
Oh, man, that goes all the way back to probably the first games that I was covering at Michigan State back in 1995 during Saban's first year. He was never afraid to ask hard questions.
Right.
That ruffled feathers, it got people agitated, and at the same point, and I think back to what was it, maybe a week and a half ago when he asked Mark D'Antonio about just the locker room talk that goes on, and the whole thing that came up during the presidential campaign about quote unquote locker room talk. When you're a person that's in a columnist role, your job is to sometimes agitate, sometimes enlighten, sometimes present things and topics that people maybe either aren't comfortable with, and he made people feel at ease. I mean, you know, the people that he talked to, you know, Mark D'Antonio answered that question with tremendous aplomb and, I mean, in dignity. And, you know, and they had a little fun in the back and forth asking the question. But then when it got serious, and you know, he knew and he trusted Drew, and I think Izzo was like that as well, that they trusted that Drew, even if they didn't agree with his opinion on it, even if they didn't agree sometimes how he presented things, that he would, you know, take a thoughtful approach to it.
Chris Solari, Michigan State sports reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, I can only imagine what it's like at the Detroit Free Press right now. Those who worked with Drew throughout much of his career and especially the sports community there. In what way did he enhance the Free Press brand over the years?
Oh, man. I mean, I think back, you know, when Drew was a beat writer, you know, he covered the Pistons, he covered Michigan State before he went into the columnist role. You know, he dug into a lot of things. He got to cover some amazing things. He got to cover some terrible things, too. I mean, that's the nature of being a beat reporter. That's the nature of being a reporter in general. But when he became a columnist, you know, I've heard people today use the word contrarian, which I think sometimes he was. I think he just liked to present another side of things for people to think about and realize and take you out of your own reality and realize there was another perspective, and that your quote-unquote reality is ultimately only your perspective on it, on things. And I thought he was great at that. You know, like I said, I went back to 1995, and he was gregarious and larger than life. I mean, you know, the kind of guy on a beat that, you know, he was the bridge, the gap bridger between those hard partiers of maybe the 50s and 60s sports writer crews and the more thoughtful and I guess post Watergate era journalists that took a little more of an acerbic bent and you know, had some wit and wisdom about them. And the thing that needs to be kind of brought up is, and people maybe sometimes because of his opinions don't think about it, he's a tremendous writer. I mean, he's just a tremendous writer. And, I mean, that's going to be a big loss. It's a big loss, not just for the Free Press, but the entire state.
I'm certainly going to miss reading his work, Chris. And I want to talk briefly about MSU football. Before I do, one last question about Drew. If you had to describe Drew Sharp in one word, what would that word be and why, Chris?
Boy, one word. You know, I guess cantankerous. I think that's
I like
totally
that.
A good way to describe him. You know, I mean, he was full of, I guess, for lack of a better word, he was full of vim and vinegar. You know, he wasn't afraid to rattle cages. He wasn't afraid to tug at your heartstrings. And, you know, that's, like I've kind of been saying, that's a rare thing. But, I mean, he also was a good person to everybody he knew. I mean, that's a tough loss for a lot of us. You know, I've been his colleague for a couple months, but I've known him for 20-some years. And just a shame and sad to have to be talking about him like this.
Yeah, we will all miss him, without a doubt, Chris. Now, before we get you out of here, Chris, you're in D.C., of course. Michigan State takes on Maryland, Big Ten matchup tomorrow night. Michigan State 2-4, 0-3 in the Big Ten, 4-game losing streak. Maryland sits at 4-2, 1-2 in conference. What are you expecting out of this matchup, and does Michigan State stop the bleeding tomorrow night?
Boy, I mean, until I guess we see who's going to be under center for either of these teams, I don't know. It's, you know, I right now have Michigan State losing this game, but, you know, Will Likely is going to probably be out for Maryland, and, you know, they may be going with a freshman quarterback, and, you know, who knows what Michigan State's going to do. I mean, they went with Lewerke last week. O'Connor played well, and at least maybe they'll do that again. Maybe they'll have somewhat of a system down to kind of juggle them or an idea and concept of that. But, I mean, I've got Maryland winning by a point just simply because of home field, but and we saw at Indiana what those night games bring out in crowds for teams that maybe are either struggling or not the preeminent teams in the conference. That means something to them, whether or not it's on VPN or not. So I expect this to be a very interesting game. And, I mean, there's no doubt it's a must-win for Michigan State right now.
You can say that again. Chris Solari, Michigan State sports writer for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, always a pleasure chatting with you, my man, and be safe out there, all right?
Thanks, Al. I appreciate it. I'll see you next week.
You got it, my man. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will break down the Michigan State and Maryland football game. We'll invite the Zach Attack to the show to do that, as well as current sports engineer Isaac Constance. And we will also, again, as promised, give a bit of a recap what we took away from Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have a little over 10 minutes left here in the show. If you want to weigh in on anything that we've been chatting about today, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The center of today's show, of course, has been Drew Sharp, the passing of the longtime Detroit Free Press sports columnist, dead at the age of 56. If you have any thoughts and or memories, please chime in. We encourage it for sure. All right, moving along now and to try and change the mood to less important matters here on the show. The Michigan State football team, 2-4, still searching for its very first Big Ten win. They said 0-3 in the Big Ten Conference. They hit the road for a 7:30 p.m. Saturday matchup at Maryland Stadium in College Park, Maryland. Maryland sits at 4-2 on the year, 1-2 on the season. Michigan State dealing with a ton of injuries, okay? Linebacker John Reschke with a left ankle injury. Offensive lineman David Beadle with a left leg injury. He is out. Cornerback Darian Hicks with a hip injury. Safety Grayson Miller. We don't even know what it says, undisclosed when it comes to him. He's questionable. Defensive tackle Malik McDowell, left leg, rims, arm, back, foot, eyes. I mean, we can go on and on here when it comes to Malik McDowell right now. It listed his left leg, ribs, and arm. Demetrius Cox, it just says legs for him. Linebacker Riley Bulla, right shoulder. I mean, this is bad right now. I mean, this is like a hospital on this MSU football team. So, I mean, at this point, guys, we now invite the Zach Attack to the show. We have Zachary Swiezicki as well as Zach Barnes. They join us now in studio to break down what they believe is going to happen on the road for the Spartans tomorrow night. But I just don't know how you can choose Michigan State to win this game when you look at that amount of names on the depth chart that have – injuries. I mean, it's so tough, specifically on the defensive end, which has given up so many points, coming off a game where they gave up 54 points against Northwestern at home for homecoming. Let's start with Swy here. Zach, what do you think about this MSU team heading into this matchup, and do they win?
It's not just the list of injuries. It's a list of key injuries, right. Key players on both sides of the ball, especially defensively. Giving up 54 points to Northwestern is a tough one to swallow. But we were talking this off air. Offensively, I don't know what they're doing for play calling. You know, they brought in Tyler O'Connor in the second half, and he just seemed to throw deep shot after deep shot, and they had some success. Mm-hmm. But in the first half, I was going through my notes. First down, 3 yard run. First down, 0 yard run. First down, 1 yard run.
They love running on first down.
And when BYU came in and won, I think it was offensive coordinator, defense coordinator said, "Yeah, we knew what play were they going to run."
They're becoming predictable, right?
Very predictable.
They are predictable right now.
It is, and they still scored 40 points against Northwestern, and they lost. So defensively, obviously, the injuries are killing them. The secondary continues to struggle. We saw Justin Lane, the freshman, come in. Mm-hmm. He had the pick six, and then he got beat. And so it's just a lot of ups and downs. I don't see how Michigan State wins this game. It's just it's fifth straight loss. and still
can't unprecedented win in the D'Antonio era.
It's hard to explain. It just everything is going wrong.
It is. And so we go to ZB now, Zach Barnes, Michigan State. They entered this game, ZB, against Maryland in the second half of the schedule, needing to win four of the final six games to assure just becoming bowl eligible here. And, of course, we all know who's coming down the pike. U of M at home and Ohio State as well. Zach, do they put a Band-Aid on the wound tomorrow night?
I'm Mr. Optimist on this show. You know, I was the one guy to pick Michigan State over at the other radio station I work on. You know, I said 12-0 for Michigan State. And really, my biggest thing.
Just can't breeze over that.
I said 12-0 at the beginning of the season.
You have to be kidding me, Zach.
Okay, you got.
Are you serious?
Hindsight 2020. Yeah, you can make me look like an idiot. At the beginning of the year, though, the pieces were there, and that leads me to my point.
Okay.
There's some internal issue going on, coaching, chemistry, whatever it is, because this team is all too talented to be this bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're around the team way more than me. I don't know what you're seeing. I just want to know because, and you could say what you want about the 2013 recruiting class as well. A little shaky, you know, RJ Shelton may be the only impact player, one offensive lineman that's not even playing. So, you know, looking back, sure. But at the same time, I think there's way too much talent. You can't tell me you go from a playoff team to one of the worst Power Five schools in the country. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. So I'm trying to look for internal issues. Overall, at this point, I don't think they beat Maryland. Maryland's having probably their best season since joining the Big Ten. Granted, their quarterback is out. That may play in Michigan State's favor. But will it? Because Northwestern's quarterback is like a backup quarterback in my eyes, and look what he did.
Right now with all the injuries on that defense, I think you could suit up at quarterback and throw five touchdowns
I think I could suit up for Michigan State as well and play.
Now, when you look at the situation, you know, this is a Michigan State team that's been used to success in recent years, okay? I mean, we're talking about, what, 5-11 win seasons, right? I mean, and coming off a college football playoff, you know, stint, and, you know, looking at the other three teams who made a college football playoff, I mean, they're all ranked right now. MSU is the only one that isn't ranked. It's so weird. And get this. The last time the Spartans lost five games in a row was 25 years ago, 1991. And I mentioned how Michigan State hasn't lost four straight to start the Big Ten since opening the 1982 season under Muddy Waters, okay? George Perlis going 0-4-1 to open the 1983 campaign. So we're talking about historic lows here for this team, which is so mind-boggling to me. But I will say this. The Michigan State defense, when you have the amount of injuries that Michigan State has had this year, if you put those injuries on any team you're talking about, it's going to be tough to win a game. Simple as that. So a lot of this has to do with injuries. Am I right, Zach?
I don't know if you're right. I mean, I guess they're key injuries because Bola, of course.
These are key. A lot of people don't realize how important Riley Bola is.
And I get it as just like a captain, but I felt like Michigan State is so deep at the linebacker position with Dowell. And Shane Jones hasn't filled in that nicely. But even with Dowell, with Ed Davis, you felt like, okay, if they lost to one of them, they'd be fine. At the same time, though, I just think the defensive line was just poor to begin with. Mm-hmm. Losing already mediocre corners is not good either.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll give you that. I just felt like this team would be deep enough because they've recruited well enough. They had the talent last year. That's why I can't wrap my head because we know Michigan State was a deep team and they would be able to fill in these things. Of course, Riley Bowl is no fun to lose, but at the same time, why aren't they filling into these roles? Why isn't next guy up like it used to be?
Yeah, it used to be that way. And I'm still tripping that you chose Michigan State to win, go 12-0 this year. I'm still processing that, Zach.
This was a playoff team that got their two hardest games at home.
They
benefited massively from that. And they threw that away because next year you're going to Columbus and Ann Arbor.
They did have massive turnover coming into this year, though. I at least give them two losses, Zach. Okay. Realistically,
yes.
What do you think happens tomorrow night? Does Michigan State win? Yay or nay?
I don't think they do. Okay. I think it will be a close one, but I do not think they pull it out. And then what? You know, you play a bunch of freshmen and sophomore.
Isaac.
Yo, Mr. Optimist, where'd you go? Come on. No, the thing is, Maryland is not that good. I know they're 4-2, but the thing is, let's take a quick look at their schedule because we can say, oh, Notre Dame's no good anymore as much as we want. Maryland's wins, their quality win was UCF,
but
a team that didn't win last
Michigan
year.
Michigan State isn't good
Purdue,
either.
This Michigan 50-7. FIU.
Yeah.
41-14. Mm-hmm. And Howard, not even D1 FBS. The thing is, MSU is no good. I've rattled against them all year long. I'm not saying they're good. Michigan State is bad, in fact. They're bottom half of the NCAA type team right now. But
they lost to BYU,
yes,
and they lost to Northwestern last week.
But
I mean,
Maryland's no good either. These are two teams
that aren't
great.
We said the same thing about BYU and Northwestern.
But the thing is, I think Northwestern, like I said on the show actually, is better than Maryland would be. I think they're building a program. I also like a few of the players BYU has. The thing is, I just really don't like Maryland, especially with uncertainty at the starting quarterback position. No Will Likely. I'm giving this one to MSU because when you have nothing to play for, sometimes it's easier to play.
MSU loses by 3 points. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Line one, we've got Ray. Ray, we only got about a minute for you. I'm so sorry, but time flies. Ray, what's on your mind?
Skipper, any chance you getting any of your injuries back for the Bullies next week?
We don't even know who we're getting back this week, let alone next week, Ray. So you heard me riddle off the incredible list of injuries on this team. We don't know.
I don't know how you're the favorite as bad as you played all year. If you don't play a lot better, and you know Harbaugh is going to really want to run it up on you for that embarrassing loss he lost on the last play of the game last year. So.
Oh, U of M's hold no punches. Okay, hold no punches when they come to East Lansing.
Better suck it up in a hurry, my friend, and start playing.
I hear you, Ray. Thank you, my man. Ray just wanted to call in and rub it in on us. I mean, that was he just wanted to rub in how bad this year has been for Michigan State.
Yeah, you aren't kidding about that one. Ray always – but he did find a way to bring in the failure of U of M with last year's play as well.
Yeah.
Ray always finds a way to.
He always finds a way to take a jab at U of M as well. 2 minutes left. Let's reflect a bit. We double Reflection Friday where we take a look at the week that was here on the show and beyond. Brief reflection for me, Isaac. I cannot believe it's week 9 of the high school football year. Well, where is the time gone? Are you going to any games tonight? And if so, which ones, Isaac?
Can't say I am. And this is my reflection. Thanks to my mom and Mark for coming by the studios. It's great. It really lined up my day. So I'm spending some time tonight just taking it off.
You stole my thunder. I was going to say thank you so much to your mom for coming through. Mark as well. They're both behind the glass. And she's waving at us right now. She brought in a box of, how do I pronounce this?
I was about to hear. I want to hear you try it first.
Pralines.
Could be worse. Pralines.
Pralines. She brought in a box of Aunt Sally's cream and pralines.
That's pretty good. That's
did you like
good.
That? That sounds like a commercial right there, right? Zach Barnes had one of them, and he said it was scrumptious. I'm going to eat these after I work out. Thank you so much to your fantastic mom and Mark for sitting in on today's show. And also, we can just fade it down really briefly here. Again, folks, we have tributed Juice Sharp throughout this entire show. Just another reminder, just how precious life is, okay? Live every day, every single day that you have breath on this earth. Live it to the fullest, okay? Much love to all of you out there. Thanks so much for tuning in throughout this week here on WKAR AM 870's Current Sports. We'll be back at it on Monday. Take care and be easy, folks.